we do worship you here tonight. We thank you for that great name. Father, we thank you for the great things you're doing in us and for us and through us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this local church, Father. We thank you for the vision you put in our pastor's heart, and Father, it shall all come to pass. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this service. We thank you, Father, your perfect will is done. Lord, I thank you that I would speak with all utterance and boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, we just thank you for revelation in your word tonight. Father, we take our help from your kingdom tonight. And Lord, may you get all the glory and all the praise, Father. We worship you in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Prayer 200. Hey, just be reminding your friends, you know, to come out on Wednesday night. It's not because we need a crowd. It's because we want people to learn the word of God concerning prayer or whatever pastor is going to be teaching, but also learn how to pray together. You know, that's not something that we learn overnight. And the easiest time and the easiest way to pray is in the corporate anointing, you know, where other people of like faith are around you praying with you. And also, sometimes during that prayer time, pastor gives out a revelation or something that the Lord shared with him, or maybe an instruction concerning prayer. So you don't want to miss this special time together on Wednesdays. Why don't you open here with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start here in verse 19. And, you know, in pondering what it is that the Lord would have us to do, not just for this service, but I mean this local church in general. And we have heard our pastor say things over the past few months that are on his heart that he would like us to do in the community. And of course, we've been emphasizing winning the lost. But God's going to show us how to do that. Amen. It's not just enough to know what he wants you to do. You have to know how he wants you to do it, right? And because we can mess something up and hurt people and not fulfill God's plan doing it our own way. And so he's been sort of giving us bits and pieces about what it is that this church will be doing, going out into the community and winning the lost. And so he's talked about, you know, our building being paid off and releasing certain people into that ministry. And so in thinking of that, I had this on my heart, our attitude toward the body of Christ, how we treat each other, right? And it doesn't just mean in this local church. It doesn't just mean each other here in Jamestown, because the body of Christ is bigger than this local church. And so, of course, it's good to treat the people here well, but also, you know, it's how we look at, how we think about, the way that we speak about other believers in the entire body of Christ, not just this local church, right? And so, you know, our family extends all over the globe, you know, and you have family members you've never even met. You know, your church family isn't just here in Jamestown, although these are the people you're most acquainted with, but we have family all over this globe because we all belong to the body of Christ. We all belong to his church. And so we're going to see the importance of this. Start out here with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And I would just like us to first see that we are all part of that one big body. And we're going to read down to verse 22. And it says this: "Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." And so while we have the foundation of this church on prophets and apostles of the Bible, also those who are in modern times, but Jesus Christ, the main builder of the church, but he's saying we are all built together. And, you know, when he said here in verse 22, he said, we are builded together in habitation of God. And so he wants us to put something in each other and in this place and in the whole body of Christ that builds it up, not tears it down. Because, you know, it's real easy to look at the differences of other people versus yourself, or maybe what another church does different than this church, and think that because it's different, it's wrong. Now, I'm not saying that everything that's done is scriptural and we should agree with that. We still have to follow the word. But you understand, we don't win anything by division. He said here, he wants us to build something with him, and that is the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And so we can bring strength to that, or we can weaken it, depending on our outlook toward it, our attitude toward it, what we say about it. You know, and it doesn't just include the Pentecostal church. It includes the Baptist church. It includes whatever other church is preaching the word of God and salvation through Christ. And so, you know, sometimes we have this attitude of that our church might be the best one. And of course, it's good to think that in your heart because this is your family. But we shouldn't think that to the exclusion of others, that no one else can do anything right. And everybody else isn't doing it as good as us. And I heard Reverend Patsy Kimmenetti talking about this, and she was talking about how God, in the beginning, when he created things, he didn't just say, let there be a tree, and every tree was exactly the same. And he didn't just say flower, and then every flower was the same. And he didn't just say animal, and every animal was a dog, you know? What did he do? He said tree, but look at the variety that we have, the diversity that we have in that. And think about flowers. I mean, there's hundreds of, maybe thousands, I don't know, of different kinds of flowers. And each one is different in its size and its color and its shape, but it all brings something different to us. And, you know, we appreciate the diversity in those things around us, but what about in the people around us? You know, they may not think like we think. They may not look like we look. They may not go to the same church as us, but we are to treat them with respect and to build them up and to encourage them and to, you know, be in unity with them just as a fellow believer. And so while someone may, you know, think something different, there may be a few nuances concerning what someone believes about the Bible. Still, as a brother and sister in Christ, we are to be building with them. And so go over here, if you were, will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and on my in my Bible, it's on the same page. And go over here to verse 15. You know, I thought about this. The kids will know what this is, maybe not some of the older people, but do you know what melty beads are? You know, the kids make these little melty beads now. It's all these little tiny individual beads, and they're all different colors. And you could make shapes, you know, maybe you lay them out so they're in the shape of a heart, and then you kind of lay wax paper over it, and you put an iron down on it, and then all those beads melt together into whatever shape you make. You know, maybe you lay the beads into the shape of a bear, you know, and then you put the wax paper over it, you melt the iron on, put the iron on it, melt all the beads together, and then you have a solid bear, you know. Or for some older people, you know, puzzles. I don't know, my mom likes to do puzzles, but, you know, we might think of it like that, where there's a bunch of individual pieces that are really nothing of themselves, nothing special of themselves, but put together make a whole picture, you know. And so that same thing is true with the body of Christ. And, you know, while you may have a little part and another person has the little part and another person has another part, all those pieces come together to make something that God has in mind, a vision that he has for the church. And have you ever gotten, you know, done either helping your kids make a puzzle or making a puzzle yourself, and you look and there's like one or two pieces missing? And no matter how much you look, you cannot find those pieces. And do you look at that and you go, eh, well, good enough. It looks good. Pretty close. No, it's so frustrating. Right? It's annoying to look at that puzzle, and it bugs me when I can't find the piece that fits in there. And so, you know, the same thing is true. God has a vision and a picture for the whole body of Christ, not just Jamestown Family Church. We're a piece of that overall picture. And so what he wants us to do is be unified with all believers. And listen, if someone is not believing something totally scriptural, it still does not give us a right to have a bad attitude toward them or to tear them down. They're still a brother and sister in Christ. It takes a mature believer to overlook the faults and the shortcomings of others. And if you're married for any length of time, you know you better quickly curb that habit of pointing out the shortcomings and the faults of another, because what? It tears down your marriage. And so even if you don't like something they do, or you don't even agree with something they do, it's actually worse when you bring that thing up and confront it than if you walk in love and let God deal with their heart. And the same thing is true with believers. You know, I was talking about how, you know, we may have believers all over the world, people in our family who we've never even met. And it was a few years back now, a while actually. And, you know, you all have family you don't know, like just in your natural family, you know, aunt and uncle so-and-so, you know, all those people you didn't recognize at your wedding, but you had to invite. I personally wanted to elope. This is not a joke. I wanted to elope, but my husband would not allow it. So we had a nice wedding and everything, but I have a lot of girls in my family, and I just wanted to skip all the drama and just get married, you know? So anyways, you know, there's all these people who come to your wedding you don't even know. Well, my mother took me to this family reunion, and, you know, she introduces me to all these people who are my family, who I'm related to. This is Uncle So-and-so, this is Aunt So-and-so, you know? And even though I didn't know them till that point, it didn't change the fact that they were my family. And so we have family outside these walls, in the body of Christ, in other churches, and because of God's plan, we owe them honor and respect and love toward them and grace toward them in their differences with us. And so go here to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, please. Ephesians 4, 15. Don't you want to have a good attitude, walk in love and grace toward the whole body of Christ? You know, we want God to be patient with our shortcomings, right? We want God to be patient with us when we miss it or maybe don't have full revelation on something. And we should extend that same thing to other believers across the body of Christ. And I want you to know this, you know, when we focus on the faults of other people, it only trips us up and holds us back. You know, you can actually become deceived doing that. Focusing on the faults, in a measure, it's pride because you think you know more than them. You start to think that you're better than them. You know, you start to think that you have something up on them. And that is not the heart of God. And so we are called to love all those in the body of Christ. So here we go, Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. That's the plan of God for us. He wants us to grow up, you know. You know, have you ever in your household, you know, had someone who's acting childish? It could be you. It could be your spouse, but it might actually be your child. And when they act childish, what do you say? Grow up. You know why? Because it's immaturity is annoying, whether it's in yourself or in somebody else. You know, have you ever done something and you just think to yourself, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Immaturity. And here he said, just grow up. Grow up what? Unto him. What's in him? Love and mercy and grace toward us and others and each other. And he said, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Go to verse 16. From the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. And so he wants us to be edifying to one another. He wants us to be edifying to the body of Christ. You know, when we tear someone else down, we're tearing down a part of his body. And you know, the vision for God, for the local church and for all churches combined as the body of Christ, was that we would represent who God is. And so we can't do that when we're, you know, fault-finding somebody else, when we're tearing somebody else down. Have you ever listened to something or watched something, not with the intention of growing yourself spiritually or maturing yourself, but with finding what they're doing wrong? Have you ever done that? And God would not be happy in those things, that he wants us to have a pure heart toward all believers, to walk in love toward all believers, to be edifying toward all believers, that we each have a part to bring. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, let's look at these scriptures. So we each have a part. It's not just this church body that matters. We're just a piece of the overall body of Christ. And our job is to not only fulfill our role here in the local church, but to be a blessing to the overall body by doing what? Being edifying toward them, even if they don't see you and hear you. Because we know this, what? God hears us always. Ephesians 4, verses 2 through 4. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, we forbear one another in love. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And so I was thinking about this, you know, even in your natural body, if there's something that isn't quite working in your natural body, you just go, oh, that's fine, you know, no problem. No, you don't do that. You go and get it fixed. Why? Because it's not okay when something is out of order in the body. And, you know, you can think to yourself, well, I'm just a small part in the body of Christ. I don't really do that much. You know, maybe I don't have a public ministry. Maybe I just volunteer in one department. And people can think that way. But every part is important. You know, years ago, I had a situation where my thyroid was not working how it was supposed to. And basically, it became overactive. And I entered a phase, which is what they call a thyroid crisis. And I couldn't, through medication and different things, I wasn't able to get it under control right away. And so basically every function in my body went on fast forward. You know, you can't breathe, your heart races, you can't sleep. You know, it affected my vision, it affected my hearing. If you can think of a function in your body, it was haywire, you know. And so you think about, you know, your thyroid, I mean, it's what, probably less than 2 inches, just this little tiny piece. And yet, it affected every part of my body. And so, if you think my part is small, it's little, it doesn't have much impact, your impact is not just what you see. You have an impact in the spirit realm. And you are affecting the whole body, whether you know it or you don't. You know, have you ever had a toothache? Or, you know, something in your mouth that wasn't quite right. You know, you sense you're getting a filling or something. Everything else in your mouth could be feeling fine, but that one little spot, you can't get away from it, focusing on it, you know. If you broke something, I broke my pinky toe on my foot one time. And it was like, we were at a Reverend Greer meeting, and we were in the hotel room. We were just getting ready to leave for service, and there was a... You know, they didn't used to make under the bed solid. You know, it used to just be like, you know, the 4 feet or whatever. But now they've got it all boxed in because, you know, people left stuff under there and everything. And I kicked that corner just right and I broke my toe. And you think, you know, broken toe, baby toe is no big deal until it's broken on you. And you're wearing heels, you know, and walking through airports and stuff, you know. And so, anyways, everything else in my body was functioning just fine, but this one little part, and it just screams out. It affects everything else, you know. It affected my day. It affected what I wanted to do, how far I wanted to walk, you know, all of these things. And, you know, you can't sleep because your toe's throbbing and all this stuff. And so you may think, I just have this little tiny piece in the body of Christ. Yes, but it affects us all. And so people sometimes think it's not a big deal. I'm just fault finding, backbiting, causing strife with this one other person in the body. Or maybe you're not even voicing it yet to other people, but you have that in your own thoughts. You're maybe saying it to your spouse. listen, even though we can't see it and we didn't hear it, it's still affecting us all. Isn't this a higher standard? This is growing up unto him. This is maturing us, right? You know, have your kids ever said the right thing in front of you and then you heard them say not the right thing about you when they thought you weren't there, you know? And so God hears us always. Let's make him proud, you know, as a body, as believers. Now go over here with me lastly. I want to share a scripture with you out of 2 Chronicles and then we're going to pray. It's already 5:07. Our time just slips away so quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Oh, we can maybe go to verse 10. And we have read this account before. Actually, I'll maybe just skip around in here. Why don't you start in verse 10 and we'll go to some different verses. But remember this, when the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir come against Jehoshaphat, you know, come against God's people, all of Judah and those in Jerusalem. And all of these three people groups have combined to come against God's people. And remember Jehoshaphat, he and all the people are seeking the Lord and someone stands up in the congregation and they're told that God's gonna deliver them supernaturally. And why don't we start here? Okay, go to verse 22. Let's start in verse 22. So here God's people are going to sing and praise the Lord, and he tells them exactly where to be. And he said, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. So wait, weren't they supposed to be on the same side? They were just a few minutes ago. But all of a sudden, two out of the three are ganging up on that one and utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. In verse 25, I read this just because it's fun, encouraging. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and the precious jewels, and they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil because it was so much. So now, you know, these people have come together against Jerusalem and against Judah. And God said, I'm going to, you know, put together a plan. And what was his plan? The enemies met in one place, ganged up against each other, supernaturally defeated one another, killed every single one of each other. How does that happen? The last two are standing and they just drive a sword into each other? I don't know, but I believe the word. And he said every single one of them died. Now, this was the plan of God. Why? To deliver his people, because he was protecting the line in which Jesus would come to this earth. But you know, the enemy likes to use this same tactic in the church. You know, have you ever heard about, you all have maybe experienced hen pecking. I hope not. But if you're married, maybe. And what is that? You know, where it's supposed to be where the wife, you know, is after the husband, just nagging him about doing something, just keep after him. And they call it hen pecking. But it's a real thing, you know, with chickens. And so you get a group of chickens, and what they do is they'll find the weak link, right? They'll find the weak link, and what do? They start to peck it. And then they peck it some more, and they peck it some more, and then it starts to bleed. And then when they see blood, you know what they do? They increase their pecking. Until what? Until that one dies. But in the process, one or two of them will get blood on them. And then because the other chickens see blood on that one, they assume they're a weak link, even though it's really just blood from the first one that they killed. So now the next one has blood on it, and they begin to peck it. And until it dies. But then in doing that, they got blood on them. So the other one starts to peck the one that now has blood on it until what? They've killed each other. And this is a tactic of the enemy. He wants to start with just one person who will just go after someone. It could be someone you go to church with. It could be someone else in the body of Christ. It could be another minister. Because, you know, the enemy wants you to be offended at someone. And he just needs one. Just like those chickens. They just need it to start with one. Who will it be? And so the enemy looks out, who among us is the weak link? Because, you know, those chickens, they don't look for the strongest one and go, we'll start with him. We'll start with her. They look for the one that's weak. And so purpose within yourself, I will not be the weak link that he can use. The enemy doesn't even need to do anything to destroy the body of Christ if he gets us to destroy each other. If we'll just tear each other down, if we'll just wreck each other, if we'll just, you know, go after somebody else's reputation, go after somebody else's walk with God, go after somebody else's doctrine. He just wants us to tear each other down. And then why? Just stand back and watch. He doesn't even have to do anything. And so purpose within yourself, I won't be the weak link. It will not start with me. Because he just needs one to get that momentum going. And so purpose in your heart, I won't be it. It won't start with me. I'm only going to build. I'm only going to edify the body of Christ. And listen, even agreeing, don't even agree with what somebody else says against another believer. When you agree, it's as tantamount as you saying it. So don't agree to it. Don't say it. Why? Because when you agree it, you start to think it, and then eventually you'll say it. But let's be bigger than that. Let's be more mature than that. Amen. God is looking for us to do something here on the earth, but we can't if we're just tearing each other down. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. Father, we purpose to be doers of your word. Father, we just purpose to be mature and grown up in the things of God, to put you first. Lord, we just purpose to edify the body of Christ, to bring our peace, to bring our part, Father. Lord, we worship you. We thank you for your instruction. Father, we delight in giving to your kingdom, not just in our time and in our talents, but in our finances. So, Father, we just thank you as we give tonight, that it's given back unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men pour into our bosom. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you grateful for the word? If I gave everything I had all the time, it would still never be enough to repay him for what he has rescued us out of. Amen. Haven't you been rescued? Oh, yes. Even just wrong thinking, you know. I'm so grateful what he's done. So what we're going to do now, if you need to get up and you need to take a break, a drink, or do something with your kids, or use the restroom, you may do that. But we're going to go ahead and start here in prayer. And I just had on my heart for us, first, let's pray for the president and for the nation, but let's also, you know, pray out concerning the plan that Pastor has in his heart from the Lord regarding this local church and the influence that we're to have in this county, okay? Does the lost matter to you? You know, remember a while ago we talked about winning the lost. Have you been doing that, purposing, you know, to put yourself in places where you can witness to those who don't know Jesus? It's such an important part of who we are as believers. You know, someone took a step of faith and talked to you. And so do that for someone else. Father, we just worship you here tonight.